Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. You guys have given us a ton of material this time on how social media impacts teenagers, especially when it comes to anxiety. We've got excerpts from Verner Lee's book, Adolescent Anxiety, A Social Media Pandemic,
Oh,
some
interesting.
research summaries, and even some news stories that highlight just how complex this whole issue is.
Wow.
Ready to unpack all of this?
I am definitely ready to unpack all this. It's a topic that's just constantly evolving, you know? So it's always good to refresh our understanding and see what the latest research is telling us.
Okay, so Lee's book really dives into the evolution of social media. He traces it from early platforms like MySpace to today's giants. It got me thinking, do you remember your first social media experience?
Oh gosh, you know what? I was a bit of a late adopter, actually. My first real foray into social media was during college when Facebook was starting to take off. But Lee makes a really good point in the book about how each new platform brings its own set of changes, you know, and those changes shape the way teens interact and even just perceive the world around them.
And he argues that this rapid evolution is a key part of the problem. Like, teens today are dealing with an entirely different digital landscape than even just a few years ago.
It's true. Think about how quickly platforms rise and fall. You know, it's hard enough for us to keep up as adults, let alone teenagers who are, you know, still trying to figure out who they are and where they fit in.
And this constant state of flux, I feel like, can definitely contribute to anxiety.
Oh, for sure.
It's always having to adapt to new apps, new trends, new ways of communicating.
Yeah, it's like the ground is constantly shifting beneath their feet, and that can be really unsettling, especially during adolescence, which is already a time of so much change and uncertainty on its own.
Lee also points out that today's teens are accessing social media almost exclusively on their phones. And the sources you gave us really dive into how specific design elements on these mobile platforms are actually designed to keep us hooked.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
Things like infinite scroll and push notifications weren't just happy accidents.
No.
They were carefully crafted to trigger those dopamine hits in our brains,
Totally.
keep us coming back for more.
It's like a slot machine in your pocket,
Totally.
constantly feeding you these little bursts of reward. And that's where it starts to get a little worrisome, right?
Absolutely. Because while social media definitely has its benefits, you know, connecting with friends, finding communities, even discovering new opportunities, those same design elements can fuel some of the darker aspects that we're seeing.
Like cyberbullying, for example.
Oh, yeah.
It's one thing to deal with bullying at school,
Right.
but when it follows you home, lives in your pocket, can pop up at any moment.
It's a whole other
Yeah, a
level.
whole other level of stress.
The research is pretty clear on this. Cyberbullying can have just a devastating impact on teenagers' mental health, leading to anxiety, depression, and even suicidal thoughts.
It's scary.
And as Lee points out, the constant exposure and the difficulty of escape make it particularly insidious.
Yeah, it's like a wound that never gets a chance to heal.
Exactly.
And then there's the whole issue of the comparison trap,
Oh, right.
which is like amplified tenfold in the age of social media.
Ah, yes. The constant barrage of, you know, curated, often unrealistic images of success, beauty, and happiness. It's no wonder teens are feeling so anxious.
The sources you gave me actually delve into the psychology behind this,
Oh, interesting.
linking it to something called upward social comparison. It's this tendency we have to compare ourselves to people we perceive as being better off than us.
Yeah, we all do it.
And that can be a recipe for disaster when it comes to
Oh,
self-esteem,
for sure.
especially for teenagers who are still, developing their sense of self and their place in the world.
Right. It's tough.
One of the studies even uses the term social comparison orientation, which basically means some people are more prone to comparing themselves to others. And guess what? Teenagers as a group tend to score high on this measure.
It makes sense when you think about it. Adolescence is all about figuring out who you are, where you fit in, what your value is. And social media, with its constant stream of, you know, highlight reels, it can really distort that whole process.
It's like trying to measure your self-worth against a funhouse mirror.
Oh, that's a good one.
You're never going to get an accurate reflection.
Exactly. It's not that everything on social media is fake.
Right.
It's just that it's a carefully curated and often idealized version of reality.
Totally.
And teenagers who are, you know, still developing those critical thinking skills can be particularly vulnerable to that.
And it's not just about feeling bad about themselves.
Really?
This constant comparison can also fuel something else that we see a lot of in teenagers, FOMO.
Oh, yes, FOMO.
The fear of missing out.
It's practically an epidemic in the age of social media.
Lee actually devotes an entire chapter to FOMO in his book.
Wow.
He argues that it's become a major source of anxiety for teenagers.
And the research backs that up for sure.
Yeah.
Studies show that FOMO is linked to, you know, increased levels of stress, depression, even loneliness.
It's like this constant nagging feeling that everyone else is having more fun, being more successful.
Right.
Living a better life than you are.
And social media, with its constant stream of updates and notifications, it's like throwing gasoline on that fire.
Totally.
It amplifies those feelings of inadequacy and urgency, makes it almost impossible to disconnect and just be present in your own life.
One of the news stories you gave me describes teens staying up all night, glued to their phones, terrified of missing out on something.
It's heartbreaking.
Their grades are plummeting.
Oh, no.
They're exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
But they can't seem to break free from this cycle.
It really highlights the addictive nature of social media.
Yeah.
These platforms are designed to keep us hooked. And teenagers with their still developing brains are particularly susceptible to that.
It's like they're being trained to crave constant stimulation, instant gratification.
Yeah.
External validation.
And that can have long-term consequences.
Yeah.
For their attention spans, their ability to focus, their overall well-being.
So we've got cyberbullying, the comparison trap, and FOMO all swirling around in this digital ecosystem.
It's a recipe for disaster.
It's no wonder teens are feeling anxious.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
I know, right?
There are so many other ways social media can impact teenagers' mental health.
Yeah.
From sleep deprivation to body image issues to the spread of misinformation.
Okay. Before my brain melts down from information overload.
Yeah, I know, right?
Let's take a pause here.
Okay.
We've laid some solid groundwork.
We have.
But there's still so much more to explore.
So much more.
We'll be back in a jiffy to dive even deeper into these fascinating and often troubling trends.
Definitely.
See you soon.
So we were talking about how these platforms are designed to keep us hooked.
Right.
Which can be especially problematic for teenagers.
Yeah, I'm curious. What does the research say about the specific ways that impacts their mental health?
Well, one area that's been studied extensively is the impact on sleep.
Okay.
You know, we know that teenagers already have a natural tendency to stay up late and sleep in.
Yeah.
But social media is really exacerbating this trend.
There was one study you gave me that found a strong correlation between excessive social media use and sleep deprivation in teens.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the blue light emitted from screens, right?
Right. It's the constant stimulation, the fear of missing out, the pressure to keep up.
Yeah.
With this never-ending stream of content.
Totally.
All of that makes it incredibly difficult to disconnect and unwind before bed.
It's like their brains are in overdrive, even when they're trying to sleep.
Exactly.
And we know that lack of sleep can have a domino effect.
Oh, for sure.
On all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Mood concentration, even their immune system.
Exactly. And then there's the whole issue of addiction.
Right.
Which we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
Social media platforms are designed to be addictive. You know, using algorithms and notifications to keep us engaged and coming back for more.
Lee actually compares social media to slot machines in his book.
Oh, wow.
He keeps scrolling and scrolling.
Yeah.
Hoping for that next hit of validation, that next funny meme, that next piece of juicy gossip.
And just like gambling that cycle of anticipation and reward can be incredibly hard to break free from. And for teenagers whose brains are still developing, it can be even more challenging.
So what can parents do?
That's the million-dollar question.
I know. It feels like we're fighting a losing battle sometimes.
It's definitely a challenge, but it's not impossible.
Okay.
The research suggests that setting clear boundaries is crucial.
Okay.
You know, having specific rules about when and where social media is allowed and for how long.
One of the sources suggested creating tech-free zones in the house.
Well, that's a good idea.
Like the dinner table or bedrooms.
Right.
It's about creating space for face-to-face interaction and downtime.
That's a great strategy.
Yeah.
It's about modeling healthy habits ourselves and showing teenagers that there's a whole world out there beyond their screens.
But let's be honest, we adults struggle with this too.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not just a teenage problem.
We're all susceptible to the allure of social media.
Yeah.
The dopamine hits the fear of missing out.
Totally.
But as adults, we have a responsibility to be more mindful of our own usage.
Yeah.
And to set a good example for the young people in our lives.
It's like the oxygen mask on an airplane.
Oh, I like that.
You have to put your own on first.
Yes.
Before you can help others.
Perfect analogy.
Hmm.
Now shifting gears a bit.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about the negative impacts. But the sources also acknowledge that social media can have positive effects on teenagers.
Yes. Let's dig into that.
Okay.
What are some of the upsides that we need to acknowledge?
Well, for starters, social media can be a powerful tool for connection.
Okay.
You know, it allows teenagers to find their tribe.
Right.
Connect with people who share their interests and feel less alone.
Especially for teenagers who might be struggling with their identity.
Yeah.
Or feeling marginalized.
Right.
Online communities can provide a sense of belonging and support.
Absolutely.
That can be incredibly valuable.
And we can't overlook the potential for creative expression.
Oh, that's true.
Teenagers are using social media to share their art, their music, their writing, their perspectives on the world.
There are some incredibly talented young people out there.
Oh, yeah.
Who are finding their voice and their audience through social media.
It's really inspiring to see.
And let's not forget the role of social media in raising awareness.
Oh, that's a good point.
About important social issues.
Mm-hmm.
And mobilizing young people to take action.
Yes.
There's a whole generation of young activists who are organizing online.
It's true.
Raising money for causes they care about.
Mm.
Spreading awareness about injustice and inequality.
Right.
It's become a powerful tool for social change.
It's empowering to see young people using these platforms to make their voices heard and to fight for the causes they believe in.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
Not at all.
Social media can be a force for good in teenagers' lives.
Definitely. But it all comes back to balance, to finding ways to harness the positive aspects while mitigating the risks.
Right.
And that's where education and open communication come in.
We need to be talking to teenagers about the complexities of social media.
Absolutely.
The good and the bad.
Teaching them media literacy skills so they can critically evaluate the information that they're consuming and creating.
And we need to be modeling those skills ourselves,
showing
them what it looks like
to
engage with social media in a mindful, balanced, and responsible way.
Because ultimately, it's about empowering teenagers to be the architects of their own digital experience.
Well, I love that.
To make conscious choices about how they use social media, what content they consume, and how they interact with others online.
Well said.
It's about helping them navigate this complex and ever-evolving landscape.
Yeah.
Safely, responsibly, and most importantly, with a strong sense of self-awareness and self-worth.
This has been a truly deep dive.
It has.
We've covered so much ground.
So much.
And it feels like there's still so much more to explore.
I know, right?
But for now, let's take a final pause.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll tie everything together and leave you with some final thoughts to ponder.
Sounds good.
As you continue your own exploration of this fascinating topic.
Okay, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into social media and teens.
It's been a journey.
It has. I don't know about you, but my brain is buzzing with all these insights we've uncovered.
Mine too.
Yeah.
It really highlights just how important it is to stay informed and, you know, engaged, especially for those of us who work with or parent teenagers.
We've talked a lot about the challenges and the potential risks, but one thing that keeps coming back to me is just the sheer speed at which this landscape is evolving.
It's true.
You know, what does this mean for the future of teenagers and their relationship with social media?
That's a great question, and it's something I think about a lot.
Yeah.
Several of the sources really emphasize this need for flexibility and adaptability.
Uh-huh.
What works today might be completely different tomorrow.
It's true. I mean, think about how much social media has changed even in the last few years.
Oh my gosh, I know.
New platforms emerge.
Oh.
Old ones fade away. The trends are constantly shifting.
All the time. It's hard enough for adults to keep up.
Right.
Let alone teenagers who are already grappling with so much change and uncertainty.
It's like trying to hit a moving target. And that's why I think it's so important to focus on developing those core critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that can be applied to any new technology or platform that comes along.
One source even suggested teaching kids to think like designers.
Oh, that's interesting.
not to actually become designers,
right,
but to understand how these platforms are built,
yeah,
what their goals are, and how that influences the user experience.
That's fascinating.
Imagine if they could deconstruct those platforms,
mm,
understand the algorithms at play,
mm-hmm,
and make more conscious choices about how they interact with them.
It would be a game changer.
It would shift them from passive consumers to active, informed users.
Totally.
And it makes me think about, you know, our role as adults,
right,
parents, educators, mentors, in helping teenagers develop these critical thinking skills.
Absolutely. And it's not about being tech experts ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's about being open to learning.
Yeah.
Asking questions and modeling healthy habits in our own digital lives.
Because let's face it, we adults are just as susceptible to the allure of social media.
Oh, totally.
The dopamine hits the fear of missing out.
I know.
You know, if we're constantly glued to our phones, comparing ourselves to others,
mm-hmm,
getting caught up in the drama, what message does that send to the young people in our lives?
It's a good point. We need to practice what we preach.
Yeah.
And that starts with, you know, being more mindful of our own social media use.
Right.
And the impact it might be having on our own well-being,
mm-hmm,
and on the young people who are watching us.
Okay, before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something that Lee emphasizes in his book.
Yeah.
The importance of not just focusing on the negative impacts.
Right.
Now, social media also offers incredible opportunities for teenagers.
Absolutely. We spent a lot of time talking about the challenges.
Yes.
But it's crucial to acknowledge the positive side of the equation as well. Like, for example, we talked about how social media can be a powerful tool for connection,
mm-hmm,
allowing teenagers to find their tribe,
right,
connect with people who share their interests, and feel less alone.
Especially for teenagers who might be struggling with their identity or feeling marginalized.
Right.
Online communities can provide just a profound sense of belonging,
uh-huh,
and support that can be so valuable.
And then there's the potential for creative expression.
Oh, yeah.
Teenagers are using social media to share their art, their music, their writing, their perspectives on the world.
It's amazing. It's inspiring to see the creativity and the ingenuity that young people are bringing to these platforms.
Right.
They're pushing boundaries, experimenting with new forms of expression,
uh-huh,
using social media in ways that we adults probably couldn't have even imagined.
And we can't forget the role of social media in raising awareness about important social issues.
That's right.
And mobilizing young people to take action. We're seeing a whole generation of young activists who are organizing online, raising money for causes they care about, using their platforms to advocate for change.
It's empowering to see young people using their voices and their digital savvy to make a difference in the world.
So it's not all doom and gloom. Social media can be a force for good.
It can.
And it's up to us as adults to help young people harness its power for positive change while navigating its complexities with awareness and resilience.
It all comes back to balance, you know, recognizing the potential risks,
yeah,
but also embracing the opportunities, and most importantly, equipping teenagers,
mm-hmm,
with the knowledge, the skills, and the support they need,
right,
to navigate this complex landscape safely and responsibly.
So what does all of this mean for you, the listener? We've,
yeah,
explored a lot of information.
We have.
But the bottom line is this: social media is a powerful force shaping the lives of teenagers,
mm-hmm,
and understanding its impact, both the good and the bad,
right,
is crucial. Whether you're a parent, an educator, or simply someone who cares about the well-being of young people.
This deep dive has hopefully given you some valuable insights and food for thought. The key is to stay informed, stay engaged,
yeah,
and keep those conversations going.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up, we always like to leave you with a final thought,
okay,
something to ponder as you continue your own exploration of this topic. So here it is. We've talked a lot about how social media is impacting teenagers,
mm-hmm,
but what about the reverse? How are teenagers themselves shaping the evolution of social media?
That's such an interesting question. We often think of teenagers as passive consumers of technology.
Right.
But in reality, they're often the ones driving the trends, pushing the boundaries, finding creative new ways to use these platforms.
They're the early adopters, the innovators,
garlics,
the ones who are shaping the future of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So as you observe this ever-changing digital landscape,
right,
pay attention to what the younger generation is doing.
Mm-hmm.
That might just give you a glimpse of what's to come.
That's a great point. It's an exciting and sometimes daunting thought.
Yeah.
But one thing is for sure, the future of social media is in their hands.
And on that note, we'll leave you to to ponder that thought.
Yes.
Thanks for diving deep with us, and keep those brains curious.